This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, August 3rd. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Rob Cantor has the latest edition of the Environmental Almanac, and we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The Illinois Department of Transportation is conducting visual inspections of steel truss bridges across the state. That's the kind of bridge that collapsed near Minneapolis. Robert Wilderbor has more.
There are nearly 26,000 bridges in Illinois, but only a small minority are like the bridge that collapsed. Sarah Wilson is a bridge maintenance engineer for IDOT. She says the state has been regularly inspecting bridges over the last year.
We just want to make sure there's nothing we've missed. We don't know what happened up in Minnesota, but we want to try to make sure that to the best of our knowledge that the public here is safe.
Wilson says the visual inspections being conducted take about 2 hours and will only identify obvious problems. She says more detailed inspections will be scheduled soon. Those can take a week and include lane closures. I'm Robert Wilderbor.
A survey conducted last year found that 1 in 9 Indiana bridges are considered structurally deficient. That's the same designation inspectors gave in 2005 to the Minneapolis Interstate Bridge that collapsed Wednesday. The U.S. Department of Transportation statistics obtained by the Indianapolis Star classify 63 Indiana bridges as structurally deficient. They also show that another 10.8% of the state's bridges are considered functionally obsolete. State transportation officials, however, called those terms misleading and signal only a need for repairs or an update of bridge design, not a breakdown in the safety of the bridge. Internet company Yahoo is opening a facility in the Champaign area. Vice President of Operations Kevin Timmons says the office will open in September. He says most of the initial 100 employees will be displaced Motorola software engineers. That company's facility in the University of Illinois Research Park is scheduled to close later this month. Timmons says the Yahoo office will be cross-functional, providing part-time and internship opportunities for U of I students.
The entire vision of the center to begin with was to, with the intent to forge closer ties with the university and with the student body. Because we see new college graduates from some of the best schools in the country to be the lifeblood of Yahoo going forward.
Timmons says the facility will offer additional job openings later this fall and may host some job fairs. He says Yahoo is still considering several sites for locating the facility, including the U of I Research Park and a handful of other options in Champaign and Urbana. Timmons says the company has had a lot of sticky problems to solve when it comes to internet research and says the university is very keen on weighing in on them. Illinois enters another day without a state budget. Legislative leaders are meeting without the governor in attendance and attempting to fashion a new spending plan. Previous talk of gambling expansion and tax hikes has instead turned into what some call a low-growth budget. It would provide several hundred million more for schools, although a final amount has yet to be decided. Senate President Emil Jones, a Democrat, says progress is being made but refused to say if there's a deal.
Well, I hate to say yes on that question, because sometimes you think you have a tentative deal, then it falls apart. So I'm trying to make sure we hold all the pieces together.
Jones added that he remains committed to expanding health care, but says the governor's plan for universal health coverage won't be part of the budget. Lawmakers could vote in the next few days and send the measure to the governor's desk. Governor Blagojevich has threatened a veto if the legislature fails to meet his demands. Lawmakers might need to override him to keep government operating. Illinois' budget impasse threatens to disrupt one of the state's most popular events. The Illinois State Fair is scheduled to begin next week, even though there's no guarantee we'll have the money to operate. Sean Crawford has more.
The fair draws close to 1 million visitors, vendors, and participants every summer to Springfield. But this year, a cloud hangs over the event as there's no state budget in place. Some are concerned the fair won't be able to pay vendors, entertainers, and other workers. But Amy Bleefnick, the fair's manager, says the governor directed her and her staff to make preparations as normal.
We've been told to plan forward as always, as in every other previous year, that there will be a state fair and to plan accordingly. So we've continued forward with our plans. We've never made any halts or stops in the planning process, and happy to alleviate people's concerns about it.
Bleefnik admits she's fielded numerous calls from those worried about payment. The fair begins August 10th. Its main focus is on agriculture and is a highlight for young people who raise livestock and sell the animals. It's also a destination for families with its carnival rides, wide array of food, and various attractions. The other state fair in the southern Illinois town of DuCoyne begins later this month. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. In the latest Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor takes us through the process of turning a previously unattractive plot of land into a haven for Illinois' native prairie plants.
3 years ago, as I was mowing the bit of yard between the fence and the alley behind my house, I found myself wondering what I could do with this little strip of land that might make it look better and free me from cutting it every week. A conventional flower bed was out of the question, since the soil there contains a lot of sand and gravel and drains very quickly. Would prairie plants do well there? It seemed worth a try. I stopped by the Grand Prairie Friends plant sale at Lincoln Square in Urbana, where I got great advice and great plants at a rock-bottom price. Alas, plant sales have already ended this year, but they'll be back next spring. Installing the new plants was fairly simple. First, I mowed the existing grass and weeds as short as I could. Then I covered the ground with layers of newspaper and piled mulch on top of that to kill off the competition. Finally, I put in my new prairie plants right through holes in the paper and mulch. Now, I did have to water those plants in that first year, and I still pull weeds from among them now. But on the whole, my plan for a low-maintenance border composed of prairie plants has worked out quite well. The planting is anchored by two grasses native to central Illinois, prairie dropseed, which is characterized by slender, flowing leaves, and little bluestem, which turns an attractive straw color in fall and stands up through winter. Interspersed with these grasses are a variety of native flowers, including some very familiar ones, like purple coneflowers and black-eyed Susans, as well as some that are a little less conventional, which are my favorites. These include Rattlesnake Master, Illinois' tough-as-nails version of a yucca plant, and Wild Hairy Petunia, a low-growing plant that puts out a new array of delicate lavender flowers each morning, only to drop them in the afternoon. My own use of native plants to create a low-maintenance border has made me attuned to use of them elsewhere. The master plan for the U of I campus encourages the use of native plants, which are especially noticeable in the landscaping around newer buildings. For example, the plantings around the Siebel Center include prairie dropseed and purple coneflower, as well as a native ginger and spiderwort. Just this spring, the strip of land between the sidewalk along Kirby Avenue and the big parking lot west of the Assembly Hall was planted entirely with little blue stem, as a way of beautifying the area and making it easier to maintain. The city of Urbana also favors the use of native perennials in landscapes it maintains. You can see prairie dropseed and little bluestem in the median on Race Street downtown. And there's a more extensive mix of native plants included in the median planting on North Cunningham up near Interstate 74. I'm reminded here of the quote from Lady Bird Johnson that was repeated as people marked her passing last week. In commenting on the use of native flowers to beautify highways, she once said, "I want Texas to look like Texas and Vermont to look like Vermont." I suppose you could say that when we use native plants in our landscaping, we let Illinois look like Illinois.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the U of I Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or listen to it again, follow the links on our website at wiol.uiuc.edu. Support for Environmental Almanac comes from the University of Illinois Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, expect mostly sunny skies today with a high around 92. Partly cloudy tonight, the low around 68. Partly sunny tomorrow, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 90. Mostly cloudy tomorrow evening, a chance of showers once again, the low around 70. For Sunday, mostly sunny, the high around 92. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. for Friday, August 3rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.